Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Well, hey, it's great to be back. Maybe some of you don't know, we haven't met yet. My family has been on vacation for the last couple of weeks, something that we do every year. We go down to Hilton Head, go to the beach, and hang out and relax, and so I've missed you all. So there's multiple reasons I'm probably crying today. That's just one of them. I thought you should know. So people have been asking me, hey, what was your favorite part of vacation? And I'm honestly really embarrassed to say it because I found that people don't like my answer. I think I'm supposed to say that my kids and I built like a sandcastle Jesus and watched the sunset or something together. But my favorite part of vacation is just going out in the ocean, kind of past where the waves are, where the water's like up to here, and just standing there. My kids aren't tall enough to go out there, and so I find that when I stand there, I get to just do nothing. You know, sometimes I'll take a boogie board and just let my arms float on it when I'm really feeling like relaxing, but I like to just go out there and have a little peace and quiet. Sometimes I'll take another adult that I can talk to, but no one under like 48 inches is allowed to go out there with me. So it's my me time. I'm recharged and refreshed and excited. So we were at vacation and we were at some conferences the week before, and it was neat. I always inevitably get the church question when I see my friends, different people that are pastors, are like, how's the church going? How's movement going? And I love just to get to be able to brag on what God is doing here. Things like what you saw today, that we're seeing lives change. We're seeing people give their lives to Jesus and be baptized and step up in leadership. And so it's funny to be away and talk about those things. And then you just start thinking, man, I want to get home. I want to see my family. I want to be back at Movement. And so when I say that it's good to be with you today, I mean it. And I mean that I'm excited for that. We've been in a series. We started it last week. The series is called Forward, and we're just talking about the concept of the Holy Spirit gives believers spiritual gifts to move the mission of the church and the gospel forward. And so we're talking in this specific time, what does that look like for Movement Church? This isn't about numbers. This isn't about hype. This isn't about some pep rally, but what does it look like for us to continue to become the church that God wants us to be here in Hilliard, Ohio, and on the west side of Columbus, and to move the gospel and the mission of his church forward? And so we've been talking about that last week. Sarah talked about the concept of serving. We said that we don't want to just be a place where people can serve, but we want to be a place where we know that God has given each one of us special gifts. We know that you have talents and passions and things that you're able to do that other people aren't able to do. And we want to use those talents and turn around and give those talents back to God and use them for his church. And so we said that we don't want to just talk people into serving or put them in roles, but we want to unleash leadership. And so I had some incredible conversations this week, people saying, hey, I've been thinking about that, and I've realized that God has given me a passion for music, and I've never told anyone about that, or I love people, or I love kids, and I want to start serving and having an impact at Movement. And so I want to just encourage you and ask you, there's a card in your seat there, if this is a place, if you're at a place where you're thinking, you know what, I do have a gift, and I want to give that back to God, I want to honor that with him, I want to unleash my personal leadership. I hope that you'll sign up and you'll look into that process. I also wanted to mention one more thing today. Most of you probably have Facebook, have social media, have news channels that you watch at your house, and you've seen what has unfolded this weekend. It's an interesting thing. Knowing that we're going to have church on some Sundays, because it seems like more and more there are things that happen in America and happen in our country, and you can't help but think, is that something we should talk about? Is that something we should reference? And I don't mean to say that any of these events are bigger or smaller, but it seems like more and more, probably about half the weekends of the year, it's like, oh, this bombing took place, or this event took place, or this murder took place. And I want you to know that just as a church and as Christ followers, I hope that your hearts are breaking for what's happening in Charlottesville, but maybe what's just being exposed that exists in our world and in our country. I think sometimes we look the other way. Sometimes we don't don't want to talk about the evil that still exists, or about the fact that maybe everyone in our world, in our country, does not think that everyone was made in the image of God. I hope that we've been doing a great job of talking about these things consistently as a thread for this whole year. I hope that you know that this is a place where we know and trust and believe that God has love for everyone, that he sent his son for everyone, and that we want our lives and our ministry to reflect that everyone was made in the image of God. And so I thought as we got going today, maybe we just stop and say a quick prayer for people that are involved in what's going on in Charlottesville, but also just to pray for us. I think, I don't know if you saw, but the guy who was driving the car that struck and killed someone yesterday is from Ohio. And so this is not something that exists hours away. This is something that exists right here in Ohio. These are going to be in our conversations, in our relationships. And in some way, we may have to sacrifice something if we're going to see God be honored, if we're going to represent God's love. We may have to sacrifice awkwardness or relationship. We may have to sacrifice standing up. And so I want to just pray for that situation, but I also want to pray for us as a church, that we can just continue to live on mission and treat people and respect people and love people like they were made in the image of God. So will you take a moment and just pray with me as we get going here? Lord, there are things happening in our world every day that break your heart and don't reflect your heart. And Lord, as people who have been called by you, been empowered by you, and been asked to live on mission for you, Lord, we want to reflect your heart. We know that each one of us is made in the image of God. Lord, we know that you don't play favorites based on skin color, or based on country of origin, or based on income, or what suburb someone is from, or what their job is, or what their education is. And so God, I wanna ask that we can continue to be a church that, as we live on mission, God, we can love people unconditionally as you love people unconditionally. God, I pray that we will be light in dark places. I pray that we will stand up and fight and speak truth and represent your heart for justice. Lord, sometimes that might just shake things up, that may rub people the wrong way, but God, we want to be a church that reflects your heart for truth and for justice and for love. And so give us the courage to do that, give us the speech to do that, give us the emotions to do that, and Lord, give us the clarity and the boldness to do that, Lord. In a one-on-one situation, in a corporate situation, in a family situation, we pray that we will represent your heart for people and your love for people. And so God, I just ask again that you'll be with us this morning as we open your word. Thanks for bringing us together. God, I pray you'll continue to make us into a movement of people finding their way back to God. Meet us where we're at and help us to take next steps. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, this last week was an exciting week around the office. I was coming back from vacation and had a chance to have that awkward moment where you get back and you realize you have like 700 emails and you go through depression, and then you realize that half of them are from a guy that wants you to wire him some money, and so you can delete half of them right off the top. But I was digging out of emails and just getting back in the flow from vacation, and my first day back was actually our summer intern's last day, and so we had a chance to send them off and have a party and celebrate with them, and it got me thinking about my internship that I did in college at their same age. I had a chance to intern at Worcester Grace, one of our kind of network partner churches up where I'm from in Wayne County, Worcester, Ohio, and had a chance to do an internship there in the student ministry department. And at the end of that summer, we did what we called kind of a 360 eval or gave some feedback. And at the end of that summer, I realized that maybe there were some things that I could have worked on a little better. Some of you don't know this, but I'm a guy that likes to like sort my clothes by color in my closet. Back when CDs were cool, I would alphabetize my CDs on a bookshelf, and I've been known to do some things that some might describe as a little obsessive compulsive, right? So if I'm just being honest with you today, that's a bit of who I've been. And so sometimes when I'm a little over-organized and I work with people that I deem maybe to be not as organized, I could find myself getting very frustrated in moments. And so that summer I had a chance to work for someone, and there were moments that I thought, this guy's just not organized. I know how to do his job, and I can do it better. And I would go out of my way to tell people that. And at the end of the summer, turns out that when they're evaluating you and telling you what you could get better on, it turns out that gossip and arrogance aren't awesome in the workplace. And I didn't know that as a 21-year-old. And so the feedback that I got was, hey, if you have a problem with someone, Mark, have you ever thought about taking that problem to them and not telling everyone else in the office? And I thought, no, that's never occurred to me. And they said, have you ever thought of maybe talking talking to someone man to man. And I thought, no, you know what? That's never occurred to me. And so it's funny, and I'm laughing now, you're laughing now. But I remember being shaped so much by that, because as I got feedback and learned how to function in office and lead with others, for the first time, someone was looking at me and saying, hey, you're not aware of this. This might be a blind spot. Maybe you haven't thought about this, but this is something that could make you a better man. This is something that could make you a better leader. This is something that could make you a better Christ follower. And I know that that was probably awkward for them to say. I know that it was probably difficult, and I know that it often is to look at someone and say, hey, I love you, I like you, and you're a good person, but have you ever thought about this, right? Sometimes it's just difficult to say difficult things to people and to give them feedback that you know may be hurtful and yet might, in the long run, help them be the best Christ follower, the best leader, and the best person they could be. That's what I remember about my summer internship, that those men that were investing in me, those women that I was working with, the people at that church were willing to say, hey, here's something that you can get better at. Here's something that you haven't done. And here's some honest feedback that might be a difficult pill to swallow, but this is going to help you in the long run. And as I was thinking about that internship and that feedback this week, it made me think about the concept of living in community. When we live in community, whether it's our family, whether it's our friends, whether it's our neighborhood, there are moments that we are tempted, or maybe we know that we should say something to someone. We know that we can give someone feedback, right? The Bible says that we're supposed to sharpen each other like iron. So sometimes when life rubs together, we know that we could speak into someone's life. We know that we could speak into what's going on. We know that we have an opportunity and an audience to help them be better, and yet sometimes we're not sure if we should. And so as we talk about the concept of going forward and being the church that we want to be today, we want to talk about what our corporate identity and our corporate responsibility is as a group of people who are together, who share life, and who want to move forward. So I know what you're thinking. Some of you are here for the first, the second, fifth time, and you're like, I don't know if I want to be considered part of this group. It's too late. We already consider you family, right? We're like that awkward cousin that's just hugging you and you don't even know who we are, right? But we want to talk about what it looks like for us to be responsible to each other, to be in relationship with each other, and to make each other better. So I want to invite you this morning, if you've got a Bible, to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 to 25. You might have a Bible that's under your seat there in front of you, behind you. If you've got one of those Bibles, we would love for you to look this passage up with us. You can find Hebrews in the table of contents there in the front. But I want you to know that if you don't have a Bible this morning, that Bible is our gift to you. If you've been thinking, I'd love to have a Bible to read or to study or see what all this hype about the Bible is about, we'd love for you to take that one home with you. And I would invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25 today. We want to look at a passage there that will just help us clue in on what it looks like for us to have a role in each other's lives and hearts, what it looks like for us to speak into each other's lives, what it looks like for us to move the mission of the church forward and have a corporate identity. And so we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. I'll read it out loud. You can follow along, maybe take some notes there, but let me read it to you. And this is what it says. It says this: and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. This passage, Hebrews chapter 10, is more to the end of the passage. The beginning of the passage is an interesting thing, because in this timeline in church history, this passage is found in the New Testament. And some of you know that there's quite a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that difference is Jesus. We look at the Old Testament and we see this story, this narrative, this covenant relationship evolving. And I'll try to say this as quick as I can, but in the beginning of the Bible, we see that Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, and they had a relationship with God, and they would interact with God, and they would talk to him, and they were in the Garden of Eden, and that was great. And one day they decided that they knew better than God's way. And so they took matters into their own hands and sin entered the world. And that drove a wedge and separated them from God. And so man was over here and God was over here. And all through the rest of the Old Testament, we see man trying to restore that relationship with God and wanting a relationship with God, but being separated from God. And so there was a system as mankind, as the nation of Israel interacted with God, they would make different sacrifices and things. And some of those sacrifices, as blood of animals was shed, it was their way of basically buying time in the presence of God or earning a right into the presence of God or getting forgiveness for the things in their heart and the wrong things that were in their lives and their sins. And so this passage is referencing that. It's saying that now, as people who have understood that we don't have to offer sacrifices anymore, Jesus came and gave his life once and for all as the ultimate sacrifice. He died on the cross, he gave his life, and he shed his blood, not because we deserved it, but because he wanted to restore our relationship with God and move us closer to God and make it so that we could know God and be in his presence and have a relationship with him again. Jesus came and gave his life for us for that reason. And so this audience that this book is being written to is really coming to understand that for the first time. Some of them are still feeling guilty because they know how their lives used to look and how their hearts used to look. And they're understanding that people used to have to offer sacrifices. And they're thinking, what do I have to do to be good enough? What do I have to do to make sure that I'm okay with God? And the author here is saying, you don't have to do anything. When you realize that you're not enough, and when you realize that the sacrifice and the gift of Jesus' life is enough, that he comes into your life, comes into your heart, removes that impure stuff, and he builds a bridge so that you can know God, that's all it takes. This author is saying that, and he's saying you can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place, because these people used to have a tabernacle and a temple, and they weren't allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, and they weren't allowed to go where the presence of God was, and they felt this amazing separation and distance. And now it's being said, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you have trusted Jesus, if you've let him come into your life and your heart and remove those impurities and change you, You have a pathway, you have a bridge, you have a relationship with God the Father, and you can go and you can talk to him, and you can go boldly, not because you deserve it, but because the gift and the sacrifice of Jesus is enough. And so that's the context that this is giving. At first, it's saying that our faith and a relationship with Jesus, the modern day relationship that the church is talking about, that relationship is based on what Jesus has done. It's not based on if the animal sacrifice you offered is good enough. It's not based on if you were nice enough to your wife this week, or if you didn't yell at your kids, or if you wandered out in the ocean on vacation and didn't want to parent them. You don't have to do anything that's good enough, right? This passage is saying, because of what Jesus did, you're good. And you're good enough. And this passage goes on to basically say that our faith is not just based on what Jesus has done, but that our faith is communal, right? It says there in verse 21, and since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, talking about Jesus, it says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood, right? And then it goes on there in verse 23 to say this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Saying, let us. And the author there is not just talking about himself and maybe the one person that's reading this. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church back then. He's talking to the church now. And he's saying, yeah, there's going to be times and moments that you doubt. There's going to be times that in the back of your mind, you're thinking, is God really for me? Does my relationship with Jesus really enough? Is my life really changed? Does this really matter? He's saying, hold tight to what you know, because Jesus is enough. He doesn't just say that, but he's adding this communal aspect. And he's saying, here's what you need to know as a group of people, as a group of Christ followers, as people who are tempted, who are discouraged, who are going to these jobs during the week and having families, and you're finding your life and your heart and your mind goes up and down and up and down. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to hold tight to. Hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm that God can be trusted. It also says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And it goes on to say, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. He's saying, as you live life As you follow Jesus, as you go about your day-to-day tasks and your to-do list, and as you go to work, and as you raise a family, and as you interact with your family and your friends, there's gonna be moments that you just don't feel this warm, fuzzy feeling. There's gonna be moments that you're at work and you just got an evaluation from your boss and he told you that you gossip too much and you're wondering if you're gonna get fired or if you're gonna get that promotion or get that bonus and you know that there's stress back home and you gotta go pick up your kids and race around and there's all this stuff you have to do and you're not gonna feel this warm, fuzzy feeling like, wow, Jesus is enough and he's so good and my life is so good and I remember those baptisms on Sunday and I remember thinking how good that was. You're not going to feel that at all times. And so he's saying, your faith is not based on getting together and being encouraged, but that you would be foolish to not get together, to not assemble with other believers, and to not encourage yourself and encourage others. He's saying you've got to think, how can you rally together as the church, as believers, as Christ followers, and how can you encourage yourself, encourage your own life, encourage your own heart, and encourage the heart of others? And in case someone was still not understanding, the author goes on to say, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. He's saying there are people who are saying, all right, giving my life to Jesus, that feels pretty good. I think I'm changed forever, and now I've got to go to work. There are people that for some reason don't value getting together with other believers and being encouraged. In fact, they go as far to what's referred to as they neglect that. We would never do that, right? That's just, this is written a couple thousand years ago, and these people must have had a problem. We never think, oh, I don't need to be with other believers this week. I've got my movement group, but I don't have time for it because my kid's got a homework project and we've got to get out the paste and make a diorama or something, right? We never think that, or we don't think, you know what, it was a long week and I've got sunburn and I just got back from vacation. We'll go to church next Sunday, or I don't even like this series they're in right now, or I don't like that person that might be leading worship or teaching, so I'm gonna go in a couple weeks. We would never do that. That's just people a couple thousand years ago, right? We've never been guilty of saying, well, I can get the podcast online or I can watch a video, so why do I even have to go and be there in person? Or there's this TV network that has sermons around the clock. I can just watch those. We would never do that, right? I'm not trying to make us feel guilty. I'm just talking to myself here. No, of course, we often fall into that trap and we think that. We think, yeah, I've got Jesus in my life and I've got a Bible and I prayed on Wednesday, I think, and I feel pretty good for the week, and so I don't need anything else. We forget that there's power when two or three people are gathered together, or when 150 or 200 people are gathered together. We forget that God has asked us to get together. I heard someone explain one time, they were at a camp and they said, hey, what's the fastest way to put out a fire? And I recently asked my sons that, and their answer was not something that I want to talk about right now, but it did not involve what I'm about to tell you. They had another idea. They're 7 and 9 and very creative people right now. But the fastest way to put a fire out is to separate the coals. Because there's something about when a fire is together and when the coals are near each other, they're keeping each other going and keeping each other warm. And the church is the exact same thing. When you're regularly gathering together with people who have a worldview that you have, when you're regularly gathering together with people that have the same values as you, with people who have the same everything as you, people who have said, I know that I'm not enough, but Jesus is, and I want to live my life for him, you're going to be encouraged in that. You're going to be encouraged to live on mission. You're going to be encouraged to keep your marriage sharp. You're going to be encouraged as a parent. You're going to be encouraged as a student, and you're going to be encouraged. And so that's why this author said, hey, don't give up meeting together, because this is important. It's important for you to be in close proximity and close relationship. It's important for you to be around other people who value Jesus and who have let the Holy Spirit speak into their lives. That's important. In fact, you can't stop doing that. You're gonna be tempted to think that you can. You're gonna be tempted to think that you're enough, and guess what, you're not. You need to stay in relationship with other believers. You need to stay in close proximity with other believers. You need to let them speak into your life and speak into your heart. And I want you to know this today, just as a big idea, that real faith is practiced in a community where people can challenge and comfort you. Real faith is practiced in a community where people can challenge and comfort you. Some of us don't like to be challenged. I know that I don't always like to be challenged. Sometimes I like to be challenged. When I'm working out, I love when someone's yelling at me. I often am working out alone and I'm not motivated, and so I pretend my high school soccer coach is still yelling at me. And it makes me work better, right? Some of us don't like to be challenged. We just think, like, I just want to do what I want to do. And yet there are moments that as we're living on mission for Jesus, as we're following Christ, that maybe we've started to cut corners. Maybe we've started to not be obedient in what he wants us to do. Maybe we've started to not spend time with him. Maybe we've started to change in some of our relationships or not honor God. And there are moments that if we've given people access to our lives, they can speak into that. I had a friend this week say, "Hey, I wanna tell you what God's been doing in my life and in my heart about how I treat my wife." And as he was talking about that, I thought he was talking to me. I don't know if he meant to or not, but I just thought, I can get better at that. He was talking about how he arranges his calendar, and I thought, I can get better at that. When we put ourselves in proximity to other people, we can be encouraged in how we're living on mission for Jesus or how we're not living on mission for Jesus. Living a life that honors Christ was designed to be done in community. We're gonna talk in a couple of weeks, but there are many, many, many phrases that mention the words one another in the Bible. There are phrases that talk about encouraging people, spurring people on, investing in people, loving people, and those phrases are not meant to be lived with you and your phone hanging out in your bedroom alone. And I know that that's what some of us like to do. I know that some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts, some of us have been following Christ for an hour, some of us have been following Christ for a couple of decades, and maybe we have certain ways that we like to do things and things that are comfortable for us. But I want you to know that following Christ was meant to be done in community. Verses 24 and 25 say that we should actually be challenging and comforting each other. And this word actually kind of refers to this concept of stirring each other up. Sometimes we like to just let the water just sit there and be still. And yet there are moments that we have to mix things up. We have to stir things up, and we have to raise what may feel like a problem if we want what is best for someone else. It might mean that you're confronting someone. It might mean that you're having what feels like a disagreement with someone. But in the end, you have to trust that that is what's best for them. Some of you have this week had disagreements or confrontations with people that you love because you knew you wanted what was best, and it didn't feel right in that moment, and you could have avoided it, and it would have been a lot easier to do that. But you loved them so much that you were willing to push through the awkwardness of that, and you were willing to say what was on your heart and what you know that they needed to hear. That's what we need to do as the body of Christ, as the church, as people that gather. We can't take getting together and being around each other and being in community for granted, because when we isolate ourselves, we become an island of self. And when you hang out with only yourself and your own thoughts, you start to think that you're right. And what you think is great, and that the world revolves around you. And you might be smart, and you might have some good ideas, and you might be a pretty good person, but I want to humbly submit that the world does not revolve around you. And the longer you're listening to the own thoughts in your life, in your head, in your heart, you'll drift further and further and further from where God wants you to be. I already mentioned, and we prayed for the fact that every one of us is made in the image of God. And so I want you to know that there are people in your life, people that don't look like you, people that are a different gender than you, and people that have grown up a different way than you, that reflect the image of God. And so unless you're interacting with multiple other people, you're not seeing a full picture of the image of God. And so as you find yourself in proximity with multiple people who are fully reflecting the image of God, and as you let them speak into your life and into your heart, that's when you're going to be shaped and formed and loved in the way that God wanted, in the way that God created, in the way that God intended, as we're sent to live on mission. We have to find ourselves in community. We have to find ourselves letting community speak into our lives and speak into what we're doing. Real faith is practiced in a community where people can challenge and comfort us. If you don't believe that, it's pretty easy to see in the world. How many people do we know that are looking for community in different places? We were created for community. We were created to be encouraged by community, and we were created to learn and grow and be challenged in community. I'm not taking shots at anything, but I think that's the success of some different things we see in culture. We see people joining social clubs all the time because they're looking for what God created the church for. We see people joining workout groups and different things because they're chasing community. They want to feel like they belong. They want to feel like they matter, but they want to be pushed and they want to be made better. And they find that in community. Most of us probably belong to something, right? We sign our kids up for sports on teams, or we go and work out at a certain place. We're chasing community, and the funny thing is that oftentimes we're running from community that's already a part of our lives. When we gave our lives to Jesus, we became one of his children. We became part of the church, and he's saying, I want you in community. I want you to speak into each other's lives. I want you to love each other. I want you to sharpen each other. I want you to have community. And sometimes we go out of our way to avoid that. What would it look like for you to value the community of the church? What would it look like for you to engage in the community of the church? And what would it look like for you to not take for granted getting together with the church? Letting people have access to your life, letting people speak into your life, letting God's word speak into your life, and just being around. Maybe there's a week that you're thinking, I had an awesome week. I read the Bible 31 times in 7 days, and I probably could win a gold medal for Jesus. I don't need to do that. What would it look like for you to be available so that you can bless others, so that you can love others, so that you could come to pour your life out and encourage someone else, no matter what your week was like? That's the opportunity that we have every week as we gather together here. We have a chance to love and encourage each other, to pour our lives out, and to keep that fire strong. To be together in community, to challenge each other, to love each other as we assemble together. We're not going to stand up and do a chant or anything today. We're not gonna sign a contract and say, hey, who's gonna be here 4 out of the next 5 Sundays or anything like that. But I want you to know that as we follow Christ, we can become disillusioned with where we're going. We can become discouraged. We can forget what our mission is, and we can become distracted. And God gave us community. God gave us the local church. God gave us the assembly and the worship service that we have a chance to attend for a reason, because it keeps us focused. It keeps us on track, and it lets people speak into our lives and into our hearts when we get off path. We need to value community. We need to value assembling together as the church, and we need to value being together for worship, because sometimes we need love, sometimes we need encourage, other times we need to love and we need to encourage others. When we turn our back on that, when we walk away from that, we're not just hurting ourselves, we're hurting the person that needed us to pick them up that week. We're not just saying, oh, I'm good. We're saying, yeah, they're fine too. I'm sure they'll figure it out. We weren't created to live life alone. We were created to live life in community, and it's our job to love and encourage each other and pull each other along. And so we have to value being together, because that's a gift that God gave us as the church. Will you pray together with me? God, I thank you for today. I want to thank you for our time together. And God, I pray that we will never take that for granted or not value that. I pray that we will be excited about being together, Lord, even when we've had a difficult week, even when we've had a week that it feels like you're distant. God, I pray that we will value the community you've given us. I pray that we will value the fact that we can challenge and comfort and love and encourage each other. Lord, sometimes we're the one doing the encouraging, and sometimes we're the one who's being encouraged. So God, I pray that we will know that we must be committed to that process and to our family either way. God, I know that there are some of us who are still figuring out our faith, or still wondering exactly what that looks like, and sometimes we don't have the rhythms and patterns of getting together and being encouraged. God, I pray that you'll just say to those people today, Lord, this is where I want you. I want you in community, and I want you to begin investing in other people and being invested in. And as we figure that out together, God, I pray that we'll continue to encourage each other, love each other, invest in each other, and be the church that you want us to be. So God, help those rhythms and patterns to be our passion. Help our hearts to reflect yours. Help us to love the church like you love the church. God, I just ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.